I hope you're sure happy it's Tuesday. In the wine cellar.
Oh, cool. I love stupid bullshit like this.
Why are you trying to give me a glass? Just give me that bottle.
Politics is weird and creepy. And now I know lacks even the loosest attachment to anything like reality.
How do you feel?
I feel amazing. Is this how men feel?
All the time.
Even the ugly ones.
In Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
All right, and let's get down to the funky stuff. It is January 15th, 2019, Evening Wine Cellar, 4:25 p.m. As I proceed to record this heat. And what in the holy heck darn's going on? There's a Michigan Congress critter says that Flint's water still not safe to drink. But another outlet, MLive.com, the first one, that's The Hill, MLive.com says that there are 8 remaining Flint water crisis defendants, and these are the next steps for the 8 remaining defendants, all right? And so stuff is going on with the whatnot and what have you over there. Coming off of PBS NewsHour and every the fuck where else, that is center to the actual left. Off of PBS NewsHour. Opinion. Charter schools are draining Los Angeles public schools. And that's why I'm on strike. All right. So I believe they call this an op-ed of sorts by a... looks like Adriana Sharta. Nailed it. Blam. That's how you pronounce a name. Beard Gang, Ted Cruz. All right, Beard Gang, Ted Cruz. You love it. Handsome bloke. Ted Cruz says, McMurricans outside of DC don't care about Russia investigation. All right, that's what he claims. But what he doesn't know is that people who are underpaid and ain't as we got no health care and know damn well another recession is coming up soon. We're like, fuck, man, what are the Ruskies doing? Awkward. Ted Cruz, inadvertently correct. This coming off of something called OK Player. They look all right. I sniffed around their website a little bit. Seems a little bit more pop culture-y than what I'm used to. And this up on the okplayer.com by Elijah C. Watson. This says that Aaliyah and R. Kelly's annulment included an agreement to protect him from physical abuse charges. Enter and resting. All right. And another outlet. I don't think I've ever seen this outlet before. Gay City News. All right. Gay City News. Is that .nyc? Yeah. I have the glaucoma, but I'm pretty sure that's .nyc from where I'm sitting. And it says that NYS, which I believe that is New York State. The New York State Legislature approves transgender rights conversion therapy ban. Seems like a fair deal for you. Seems like a fair deal for, well, it doesn't affect me. I'm cis, hetero, boring old fuck. And, shit looks like it might be going down in the wine cellar. Phoenix Kaleeder is tired. Don't know if Phoenix Kaleeder might be able to make it into the joint. just something that I won't really be getting too much into, but R. Kelly's daughter called her father a monster in a lengthy Instagram story. I may have mentioned that before, but I probably won't be getting heavy into that story. All right. And apparently some whack nigga named Little Uzi Vert is not going to make records anymore. So on some level, he's an activist protesting himself and doing a darn good job. I'll tell you that right now, Skippy. All right. Let's get into some gosh darn friggle flagging Schmargenhoofel wine cellar, if you will.
I hope you're sure happy it's Tuesday. Father Teresa's wine cellar is rated R for keeping it real.
West side, get racking in the back, like what's happening. That 40 Glock snap by Insta, ain't no need for no caption. I got put on by four niggas, wasn't need for no bandage. I did my stuff like a young nigga, that's how I was handling.
All right, and this one will not be split up. We're going to go ahead and bang this out. This is a full Tuesday episode, winecellarmedia.com. Let's go ahead and get the Vidya up and or running. All right. Let's get down to the funky stuff. Again, over here, back to the hill. And yes, Phoenix Kaleeder is there. Phoenix Kaleeder made it up. Representative Dan Kildee, Democrat, Congress critter out of Michigan, said last week on Wednesday that he did not believe the water in Flint, Michigan was safe enough to drink after the city's water crisis, but said he thought progress was being made. All right, sounds bold, sounds confident. Not really. This is a quote that this individual delivered on the Hill.TV program, said, "No, I don't think we can trust it yet." And he also said that there's a crystal ball rising. What the fuck? Kildee, whose district encompasses Flint, said that. Oh, okay, Jesus Christ, yeah, that's a. Oh, somebody's name is Buck Sexton. I kept looking like, is that the name of the city? Is that the name of the county?
Oh.
And then Crystal Ball is another person. So I'm looking, because I see the words Buck Sexton and Crystal Ball. And I'm like, I'm going to dance around those and try to kill this paragraph. But Crystal Ball was that MSNBC host,
yes,
that was running for Congress, but she was at a party. And she got taken a picture, and they're young adults at a party, mm-hmm, and there was like a little toy penis that you could strap on your head and be like, I got a penis on my forehead.
Yeah.
And it took a picture of that, and then slut-shamed her out of the,
out of the election, yeah.
Out of the election for not having sex. You get slut, being AFAB, a female assigned at birth,
yes,
is a pre-existing condition.
Everyone's a hoe if you think about it.
And hoes need abortions. We actually should get that on. That's like a... That's damn near 3 years old now, that episode. Yes. It is elder. But it is on the WineCellarMedia.com Facebook page. If you just look for Christian Mom and Gangsta Rap Song, you'll find it. All right. So, he continues to say words about things. And he says, it is getting better. We have to acknowledge that. we should, by the end of July, I mean, it's January, by July, certainly by the end of the summer, have been able to replace all of those lead service pipes that have been the source of the poisoning. But people don't trust it yet. They were told the water was safe once before when it really wasn't. I think until those lead lines are gone, it's going to be pretty difficult to have full confidence. All right. Now, a little bit more on Flint. This is coming off of that MLive website. All right. And it says there are there's a few more steps for the 8 remaining Flint water crisis defendants. By defendants, these are the people of whom are accused. Mm. All right. And on the opposite side of defendants, you have what I personally call plaintiffs. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, after three plea agreements in just 2 weeks, only 8 current and former city and state government employees remain accused of crimes tied to the Flint water crisis. Now, here is what is ahead in each of those cases, the first of which is scheduled to resume in Jenny's district court next week. An individual that goes by the name of Patrick so-called Cook is the is in the Department of Environmental Quality, doing a good job there. Patrick so-called Cook, a specialist for the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality and Community Drinking Water Unit, has been scheduled to return to the District Court of Genesee for a continuation of his preliminary examination on Wednesday, January 16th. So that's tomorrow. All right. I have decided to follow the Flint shit harder this year.
Okay.
Yeah. So that right now it is January 15th, 2019. Patrick so-called Cook, a 55-year-old individual, started his preliminary exam with 3 other defendants and former colleagues at the DEQ, Department of Environmental Quality. But each of the trio, Leanne Schechter Smith and Stephen Bush and Michael Prisby, have accepted plea deals with Special Prosecutor Todd Flood. I hate everyone's name in this. These are all like sort of like underboss white villain names. Like
underboss white villain names.
Like these are the Bebops and Rocksteadies of white supremacy.
Wow. All right. That's what we're really gonna go with. Okay.
Bebop, Rocksteady, Shredder. Let's take a look at these motherfuckers. So Patrick so-called Cook remains charged with willful neglect of duty, mm-hmm. misconduct in office, and conspiracy, which means Alex Jones is going to be all up on this one.
Isn't Alex Jones dealing with his own conspiracy? I think we learned that yesterday.
Maybe.
Would you say InfoWars has been declassified?
I did use that title.
Yes.
I used it. And it's up on the YouTube, so it'll be hitting the podcast feed at 8 a.m. one of these days. Actually, no, that was the first one I put up. That went up this morning. So that went up 12 hours ago. 12 hours ago.
Mm-hmm.
Calm down, Chief. 8 hours ago. So, Nick Lyon, these fucking names. The Michigan Department of Health and Human Services. Doing a good job, Nick. 4 months, F-O-U-R, 4 months after his attorneys filed a motion to quash his bindover on charges including involuntary manslaughter in the Genesee District Court, Nick Lyon is scheduled to return to court February the 1st. All right?
Hmm.
Lyon, a 50-year-old individual and former director of the State Department of Health and Human Services, is asking the Genesee Circuit Court. There's a judge out there who is Joseph Farah. They have compiled the worst possible fucking names. And they got with this judge, Joseph Farah, to stop his criminal prosecution,
mm-hmm.
arguing that his case was mistakenly bound over for a jury trial. Whoops! mistakenly given lead instead of water. Whoops! Lion, so-called allegedly Nick, who was replaced as DHHS director, which is a Department of Health and Human Services, and that was after Governor Gretchen Whitmer. I gotta do a whole other thing where we just list these fucking names. Governor Gretchen Whitmer was sworn into office and put that nigga in the DHHS, Department of Health and Human Services.
Yes.
And this was the highest ranking of 15 individuals originally charged with the Flint water crimes. Mm. His attorneys say that the district judge, William Crawford, should not have bound his case over for trial because prosecutors failed to produce required proof that he committed crimes during his preliminary examination. Mr. Lyon is charged with two counts of involuntary manslaughter, misconduct in office, and willful neglect of duty. Smart device giving me notifications. Oh, it says go to bed early so I can do... I got to do some work in the morning in the factory. Extra shit. misconduct in office and willful neglect of duty. All charges related to his response to the Flint water deliberate action. They keep calling it a crisis.
Yeah.
And the deaths of two Genesee County men during deadly outbreaks of Legionnaire's disease.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We had some pictures up of that way back in the... I think that was actually before we had a website. So we just put them on Facebook. Mm-hmm. PhD Dr. Eden Wells, Michigan Department of Health and Human Services. Dr. Wells, a 56-year-old individual who served as Michigan's chief medical examiner under Governor Rick Snyder, which is the top... That actually is Krang. That's the one
Snyder is Krang?
Yeah, he's like, Wells, Patrick! Yeah, Rick Snyder, man. That's a fucking villain name. Governor...
Fits.
What up?
It fits.
It does. It has Snide in it.
Yeah.
It is the act of, like, yeah, it's basically taking Snide and making it action over, like, rhetorical delivery. All right. So, Rick Snide is scheduled to make, okay, she is scheduled to make her first appearance in the Genesee court February 4th. All right. Now, Dr. Eden Wells was bound over for a jury trial earlier this month on charges of manslaughter, willful neglect of duty, misconduct in office, and lying to a peace overseer. Like Mr. Lyon in the previous paragraph, her case has been assigned to Judge Joseph Farah, and like Mr. Lyon, she's expected to file a motion to quash arguing that the Genesee District Court judge mistakenly bound her dat-gummit case. All right. Robert Scott, Nancy Peeler, all right, Michigan Department of Health and Human Services. These people are also doing a darn good job. I think they call it a bang-up job.
Yes.
Right proper.
Right proper. It's a right proper job, except people are dying, so it's really not going that proper.
Are they Negroes?
They are.
All right, then. They have enough welfare checks to breed more. They're racist. The preliminary examinations for Robert Scott and Nancy Peeler are they're scheduled to continue for two Michigan Department of Health and Human Services officials, and that's going to be on February 8th. All right? Run it back to September. Special Flint Water prosecutor Todd Flood said he was about to wrap up his initial cases against the pair, but appearances in the Genesee District Court have been delayed since. All right, Nancy Peeler and Robert Scott are each charged with misconduct in office and conspiracy, both of which are felonious, and also willful neglect of duty, which is a misdemeanor, and that is for their roles in the water deliberate action, of which we're calling a crisis for some reason. All right, each were involved in the development of state reports on blood lead levels of Flint's children during the water crisis. And here we have the coon.
Hmm.
Buck dancing coon ass nigga.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Darnell Earley. Ooh, he got a coon ass name. Woo!
Hmm.
All right. So
well, the name Darnell is officially ruined.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Yeah. I think the Earley makes it worse.
So does that facial hair.
Yeah, it looks like he wants to be white.
He looks like he's trying to be Colonel Sanders, the KFC guy.
Yeah, like doesn't it look like he put fucking like relaxer in his beard?
It does.
Because he's almost my complexion, and his beard got no nap to it.
And you can see his hairline. It's not like his beard game.
Yeah, this coon ass nigga. So Darnell Earley, former emergency manager, and Howard Croft, former Flint DPW director. Let's take a look at these motherfuckers and then we'll move on, all right? So I'm actually just going to title this episode for Flint.
Yes.
Yes, thank you for giving me a notification, smart device. preliminary examinations for the former Flint emergency manager, Darnell Earley, and former Flint Department of Public Works director, Howard Croft. These are set to continue February 25th, all right, in the Flint District Court. The exams have been the slowest to develop so far, with just one witness having been called to testify before Judge Nathaniel Perry. The special prosecutor, Todd Flood, has said he expects to call at least 15 witnesses during the exams for Croft and Darnell Coonass Buckdancing Earley. So Darnell Coonass Buckdancing Earley faces charges of false pretenses, conspiracy to be a... I don't really have any more insults. Conspiracy to commit false pretenses, misconduct in office, and willful neglect of his own motherfucking people.
Okay.
Croft faces charges of false pretenses and conspiracy to commit false pretenses. Their special attorney, Todd Flood, has given notice to both of these men, including the coon, that he intends to ask Mr. Perry to bind them over for trial on additional charges of involuntary manslaughter.
Good.
And coonin.
And coonin. Is that the charge?
Coonin and Kel, I tell you that.
Mm-hmm.
Right now.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. I need to do that there. And we'll move them fellas on forward. Let's take a look down there. Look at that right there. That's pretty good.
Oh, you didn't even look at my show notes, did you?
No, I did not. I didn't know you made any.
Yeah.
No, I did not know you made any, Miss Ma'am. You're sure you made show notes?
I'm sure.
I hope you're sure happy it's Tuesday in the wine cellar. Baby, why are you trying to give me a glass?
Why?
Just give me that bottle.
The fucking bottle, fuck face.
I don't have a bottle.
All right,
I ain't got it, so you can't get it.
Folks, though, I'm going to link this with the post, but there is a op-ed in the PBS NewsHour, which is a podcast I'm subscribed to. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, there's an opinion piece. Charter schools are draining LA's public schools, and that's why strikes are going viral.
Yes.
All right, your main man, Ted Cruz, Beard Gang Ted, said that folks outside of D.C. don't care about no Russia McVestigation. Now we know why he said it, because mm-hmm. he's a McPublican, and he's being a team player. All right, that's yeah. all that really is. But fact-based reality... Blue-collar McMericans that are not partisan hacks trying to get links. I said links. Trying to get likes and build their fucking career. Basically, niggas that aren't trying to take the Imani Gandhi route.
Mm-hmm.
You know, other lawyers that are similar to Imani Gandhi and do shit like that. You know, them type of niggas. We of whom are not them don't give a shit.
Right.
All right. I'm going to get up tomorrow morning and leave at about 4 a.m. to get to work at 4:30 a.m. so that I can prep machine parts. And then I'm going to get on a Skyjack and prep a machine room to run product.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to do it for not many money dollars an hour.
Right.
A raise above what I had last year, but not a great many money dollars an hour.
Right.
all right? I gives a blue fuck about a damn Russia, all right? When I got beat down by cops, their names were not Boris and Natasha.
Exactly.
Fact-based reality.
And you know, the thing that really gets me about this whole Russia shit is nobody has been able to articulate. So even if everyone who's involved is found guilty, what are the consequences and how is it going to be prevented from happening again?
Well, that's the thing. There's going to be a lot. There's going to be lots of consequences.
Uh-huh.
Big, beautiful consequences.
Uh-huh.
All right. Because
is Mexico going to pay for them?
Yes. No, Russia's going to pay for
Russia's
them.
Gonna pay
you
for
realize
them?
The Democrats can like say that shit now and they're fucking
Russia's going to pay for it.
Their diehards will roll with it. Yeah, I mean, because you know how fucking the rich and the powerful always face hardcore consequences.
They do. I mean, I remember after Ted Kennedy killed that woman in his car, he went to prison. Oh, wait.
And that was it Laura Bush?
Laura Bush killed someone with a car. She ran someone over. And she went to prison for, no, she didn't.
She had that affluenza, man. It's hard to shake.
I want affluenza.
You can't have it.
I just want enough money to be able to even pretend I can have affluenza.
No. And I think affluenza is only intergenerational. If you're first generation, you don't have it.
Like three generations in.
Yeah. All right. So, a little bit more pop culture than what I would typically do, but I do talk about rape culture and anti-blackness and misogynoir. So there's a reporter goes by the name of Jim DeRogatis. And this individual made a reveal during an appearance on a New York Times podcast. All right. Jim is the reporter who has pursued the sexual and physical abuse allegations against Robert Sylvester Kelly since 2000. And he was a guest on the New York Times podcast series, The Popcast, with the host, John Caramanica. Last year.
That's a name.
Yeah, you gotta have a good one. Niggas be saying last year like that shit wasn't a few days ago. Quit playing with me. So during the two's conversation, Mr. DeRogatis discussed how he first started reporting on R. Kelly and recalled when he first went through the documents related to the singer and Aaliyah's annulment. Quote, "The annulment for the R. Kelly marriage and Aaliyah's legal claim against him had been sealed in Detroit. They were sealed by the court, but those documents were provided to me," end quote.
Mm-hmm.
And then he continues saying that it's a harrowing document, quote, "A non-disclosure agreement on both her part and Kelly's vowing not to pursue further legal claims for physical abuse. So it wasn't just an underage sexual relationship. He hit her, allegedly, according to that court document," end quote. I'll link that with the show post.
Okay.
Phoenix Leader has some stuff you're excited about.
Oh, yeah.
You jazzed up.
Okay. Yeah. did you cover the one about the evangelical group wants gay people removed from anti-lynching bill?
No, I didn't even headline it.
No.
Yeah, I saw it, though.
Oh, cool. I love stupid bullshit like this.
Yeah. So last month, the U.S. Senate unanimously passed a bill that would explicitly, like, why I'm doing amazing with the words coming out of my face right now.
Yeah.
I am awesome. The bill would explicitly make lynching a federal crime. Not everyone, however, is pleased with the passage of the Justice for Victims of Lynching Act. Also, can I point out that they passed a Blue Lives Matter bill before they passed the Lynching Act? I'm just saying.
Okay, but which ones matter?
Obviously, the blue lives, because that was the bill.
Oh, there you go. All right. What the hell, you think niggers matter?
I would like to matter.
No. You want affluenza? You want your life to matter? What is your deal?
What? It would be awesome if my life mattered. So the Liberty Council.
We got it. Okay.
As I told someone today, we might be the meanest podcast you've ever heard. We just talk shit. So the Liberty Council, an evangelical nonprofit that opposes gay rights, and its chairman, Matt Staver, are taking issue with the bill's inclusion of LGBTQ people. Mind you, this is an anti-lynching bill.
Ah.
So the old saying is, Who the fuck says this?
Because then there's a loophole. We can lynch gay niggers.
Oh, there is a loophole.
Yeah.
Wait, so that means they could just lynch all the black women they want, since black women are inherently masculine looking, right? By Euro beauty standards?
Or really, you can just accuse anybody of being gay.
Yeah.
Anybody. Like, look at all the stories I do on trans. I literally have the screen on gaycitynews.com right now.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they can just be like, you're gay. Lynch them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So according to Staver, the old saying is, once a camel gets the nose in the tent, you can't stop the rest of them from getting the rest of the way in.
Who the fuck? That's in the article?
Yes.
No one says that.
I don't know.
A pack of camel cigarettes? What is he talking about?
I thought that Jesus said something about, it's easier to get a camel through the eye of a needle than to get a rich man to go to heaven. But apparently, I misread it. And the actual saying is, once a camel gets its nose in the tent, you can't stop them coming from the rest of the way in. I don't fucking... Nigga, what? No one fucking says that.
Can't stop them coming from the rest of the way in?
Yes. That is, man, a verbatim quote.
That nigga typoed with his mouth. Shit.
Actually... Oh, they had a hyperlink to it, but the hyperlink is also a quote. I thought maybe there was audio in the hyperlink. There is not. That's no fun. But yeah, that's the fucking quote. All right, so something about camels, tents, and noses. I don't know. He said in an interview with conservative news outlet One News Now, this is a way to slip it in under a so-called anti-lynching bill and then sort of circle the wagon and then go for the...
Yes.
Jugular, which he apparently wrote as juggler.
Oh, fuck. Did they put the SIC there, sick? Juggler.
Chile.
So this is like an anti-juggalo bill? He's mad at clowns?
No. There's jugglers, camels, and tents, nigga. It's a fucking circus.
Oh, fuck, it is.
It's a circus.
Is this whole
nigga.
Thing actually a joke? Is he having nightmares about Pennywise? Like, what is this?
All right, so there's camels and noses and tents.
Yeah.
And then circling wagons around jugglers. Staver told One News Now his organization, which has been labeled an anti-LGBTQ hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center, is lobbying lawmakers in the House to have them remove the bill's sexual orientation and gender identity language before taking a final vote. Similarly, the group encouraged Congress in November to remove language about sexual orientation and gender identity discrimination in a trade agreement between the United States, Mexico, and Canada. Liberty Counsel did not immediately respond to NBC News' request for comment.
Man, before they pass the bill, can we lynch these niggas?
I'm not opposed.
Jesus Christ.
I'm not opposed. You know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to click the hyperlink and actually go to his...
Oh, shit. Don't do that.
What?
You're making a decision, man.
I am making a decision, and y'all going to come with me for this ride.
No.
Because it's the circus.
God damn it.
I mean, Jesus was a white man, too, but you...
Oh, my God. This is so... This is... One News Now is pretending to pass itself off as a legitimate news site. And, of course, the first fucking sentence.
Yeah.
The Justice for Victims of Lynching Act passed unanimously, but, you know, founder Matt Staver said it passed without some senators realizing an amendment was added providing special rights for homosexuals and transgenders.
Oh, cool. I love stupid bullshit like this.
All right.
The special rights are please don't kill us, by the way. Like, that. The special right is wanting to live. Also, just, you know.
Yeah, but they're on the left hand of God, and I'm pretty sure that's bad.
And apparently these people know this fucking goofy-ass proverb because he calls the amendment the proverbial camel's nose under the tent. They know what the fuck he's talking about. These niggas love the fucking circus. Mm-hmm.
Fine.
No one can or should oppose a bill that bans lynching, says the Liberty Counsel attorney, and thus it's being used as a backdoor to pass legislation such as the controversial Employment Non-Discrimination Act. What? This doesn't even make sense.
Wait, are they against that bill?
Yes.
Okay, and then... So, you're having a tough time with it, aren't you?
I am. Wait, so... by not making it legal to lynch gay people, that means they're going to pass an employment bill that says you have to hire gay people?
Yeah, that's what they're doing.
Okay. So far, they've been unsuccessful over the many years in the past, but this is a way to slip it in under a so-called anti-lynching bill, and then, yeah, okay, circle the wagon and go for the jugular. Staver tells One News Now that the council is telling lawmakers in the House about this in an effort to convince them to strip the bill of the amendment before taking a vote.
Juggler. Why? Yeah, jugglers. Circling wagons around jugglers.
In the tent.
Where's the fucking elephant?
Flying somewhere.
Now, I done seen about everything. Miss Man. Fucking.
Goddamn. Okay.
You don't know.
I don't know either.
I mean, fuck it. Just pass it on. Let's just let the whole thing rock. Just... You know what the deal is, man. Here, just have at it.
Christians out of the military. And we talked, we played the soundbite yesterday from Robert Oscar Lopez saying, look, what the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell has done is it's opened the door for these hyper-masculine homosexuals to come into the military, very similar to the kind of masculine ideal of the warrior in Greek culture,
like,
and they were homosexuals.
M&M.
Those that were the masculine ideal in Greek was the Greek warrior. He was a homosexual. They would often have young boys as their homosexual lovers.
Politics is weird.
And you would have these homosexual couples that would fight together. The 300 at Sparta. The movie was made about them. They were 150 pairs of homosexual lovers. So there's a military tradition that's connected to homosexuality, and it's also connected to fascism.
I didn't know what you were going to do to my podcast this evening.
What?
You're trying to ruin the wine cellar.
I'm telling you about camels in tents and circuses, nigga.
What the fuck? Is this story still going?
No.
What else is happening? You're trying... Oh, yeah.
All the other things
Leader has her other 800 tabs open.
I do have 800 tabs open. A man, an Ohio man, has been arrested after releasing racehorses from a racetrack.
Why? Are the horses being abused? I guess making them race is...
Police say a man broke into the Stark County Fairgrounds in Ohio and released more than a dozen racehorses, including one that then died after falling through ice.
Oh, Jesus balls.
The 28-year-old man is facing multiple charges, including breaking and entering, inducing panic, and drug possession. Police say the man released 15 horses around 5:30 a.m. Monday, telling responding officers that the animals wanted to be free. Okay.
He told the truth.
To
his interpretation.
However, it took several hours of the horses running along city streets and through multiple neighborhoods before they could be rounded up.
Oh my fuck.
I don't think that's the kind of free that they wanted.
This nigga just manufactured a micro stampede? Holy shit.
Oh, cool. I love stupid bullshit like this.
The president of the Stark County Agricultural Society, which operates the fairgrounds, says all remaining living horses were returned to their barn and have since been seen by a veterinarian.
Fine.
What?
WineCellarMedia.com.
Yes.
PayPal.me/PhoenixAndWilliam. Patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund. GayCityNews.nyc stories. You can tell that whoever wrote this is one of those. They're a bloke. Paul Schindler.
A bloke.
Because they put an historic day. Yeah, I said bullshit. I listened to a podcast called Grammar Girl. And Grammar Girl said that just really go with whatever your accent is with choosing A and an.
Mm-hmm.
So, on a historic day, the state capital of Albany in New York, with many LGBTQ advocates. Let's remember, we got to, you know, I mean, I get it. We want to shorten shit down, but individual people, all right? So with many advocates for, quite frankly, expanded human rights, many expanded human rights advocates were on hand, and both houses of the legislature adopted two long-stalled civil rights bills the Gender Expression Non-Discrimination Act, GENDA, a transgender rights measure, and a ban on conversion therapy practiced on minors by licensed mental health so-called professionals. In a fitting opening to the day's session in the Senate, which had been the roadblock to both measures, a rabbi, Yael Rapport, which is that's Jew style, right?
That is rather Jewish, yes.
All right. Keeping it mad Jew style.
Yes.
Coming through. Rabbi Yael Rapport from the congregation Beit Simchat Torah. It's a Manhattan LGBTQ congregation. They could have put Q-gregation. It would have been fun.
Really?
They offered an invocation. All right? You need a congregation for an invocation.
Wow. And a salutation?
Because it's a congressional measure in a great situation. I think that it's a leading movement for the nation. All right?
Really?
I don't know. What do you think about that? You just want to say something on your own internet radio station.
What? Why? Why? What?
Yes, ma'am.
No.
No?
No.
You sound like you want music from the same genre as another bad creation.
Really? Yes.
All right. That Bell Biv Devo.
Bell Biv Devo.
All right. So on today, January 15th, passage of GENDA caps a struggle dating back 16 years to when the state adopted a gay rights law with no provisions to bar discrimination against gender identity and expression. At the time, leading advocacy groups led by the now defunct Empire State Pride Agenda argued the measure approved was best and that it could be achieved with a Republican-led state Senate and a Republican governor, George Pataki. All right. So that's going on. I'm going to go ahead and link that with the show post when I put that up. But for now, we got to get the heck darn out of here. I need to eat a food with my face.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you have
I had a funny one.
More from your 800 tabs?
Yes, from my 800 tabs.
All right, let's bring it in from your 800 tabs.
I mean, you see the title, right? Like, you know this shit's going to be quality. I'm just saying.
What's this? Mm-hmm. All right. All right. So this is from Phoenix Collider's 800 tabs. A lot of shit be on Fox News.
It does.
A gang of shit.
Yes.
All right, let's take a look here, man, because this story could be poison. I'll tell you that right now,
really?
Buddy. What, Miss Ma'am?
It's not poison. It's about kindness.
This show is fucked up.
A Florida man made a threat to his neighbor.
Now see, now if y'all have been long time listeners, you can hear him doing it. He read the title and didn't want to read the whole title, so he's frantically scrolling and making noises trying to get to the rest of the story without reading the rest of the title.
And there she goes saying stuff that's not true.
Negroes doing Negro stuff.
So his name is Brian Dwayne Stewart, a 30-year-old individual. And he done got himself arrested this past weekend when he reportedly threatened to kill his neighbors, all right, with a machete. And on this here machete, he decided to do some engraving.
Oh, no.
All right?
Okay.
Because he is literate, all right? You don't just look at a Florida white man with a mullet and a receding hairline and just assume he can't do words as fancy as you northern folk that went to a private middle school. All right?
Yes.
He spelled kindness correctly on his machete to kill people with.
So.
Yes, ma'am.
Killing people with kindness, literally?
Attempted.
Woo.
But, as of now, the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's deputies said the neighbor heard yelling and banging coming from Stewart's home all day. And at around midnight, the unnamed neighbor told the police fellers that he heard Stewart tell another person in the house he was gonna kill him with kindness. and the neighbor, along with another neighbor, who expressed concern for a woman and a child who also lived in that their house, reportedly went to Stewart's home to tell him to keep it the hell down. And there's another, this is one of those joints where they have headlines in the middle of it. And this another headline is, Florida man chews up seat of police car after cocaine arrest. All right. Okay. But continuing with this one.
Okay, but this one, though, this is how white crime becomes white on white crime. Right? So he said he's going to kill people with a machete. And his neighbors came over to tell him to keep it down.
It's like, you're white. You can call the cops.
Like, what are you doing? Well, he's got a machete. He's starting to kill. Let me go over there and give him my 2 cents.
Yeah, let me tell you something, buddy. And then that's where... And this usually happens with white men. They try to see who's whiter.
Yeah, who's the whitest man in the room.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no. All right. So, Mr. Stewart... It's kind of like that Bill Burr joint where they were talking about when you're in the stands at a game and you're like, you suck, buddy. You're a loser. Go ahead. Come up here. They went up there. So Stewart, he came out there with a knife raised in an upward motion. I like how that was articulated. They made sure you know exactly how he was holding this here kitchen utensil.
The music from Psycho.
My biological mother thought that was the funniest shit.
The music?
Yeah.
Like, in general or in the moment of the movie?
In general. She just thought that shit was funny. Yeah. That was her, okay. Her sense of humor was all over the place. So the first neighbor reportedly stepped in front of the other.
What the fuck?
I'll take this crime. I want to be on someone's comedy podcast. So the first neighbor reportedly stepped in front of the other and blocked Stewart's attempted knife strike, with the victim later telling authorities he suffered a half-inch cut on his left hand. Woo! I'm blue collar. I need my hands.
Mm-mm.
At the time of his arrest on Thursday, cops said that Stewart reeked of some beverages, if you will, and
what they say
alcohol.
Which one?
Stewart.
Oh, just alcohol in general.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that the officers had to repeat things numerous times. I've had to interact with that kind of drunk white man. I know. Oh, I know.
And yet they took him into custody alive. Curious.
Yeah, and also, like, I'm laughing, but then the laughter stops because I remember one of the things I had to keep saying. I was like, your wife is crying. And it was because it was towards the end of the foster care shit, and I'm in someone else's foster care house, and he just got hammered. And he's like, man, I love you, Billy. He's calling me Billy. My name's William. I love you, Billy. I love you. And she's like, yeah, he's a good kid. And he said, shut up. I love you, Billy. I'm like, what the fuck? What was the shut up for?
Okay.
Well, it was the love moment.
Oh,
Jesus
no.
Christ, you huge white man.
It's a finite amount of love. There's just not enough for everyone.
I only have enough for this Negro, and you know how much that takes. Yeah. Get away from them. Yeah, get out. So the deputy said he also became belligerent. Very aggressive.
Really? Really? The drunk white man with a machete became belligerent, you say?
Nah, that's not. Yeah, usually they write haikus and play a little ukulele, you know? So he became belligerent, very aggressive, and kept banging his head on the patrol unit. So he was charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and aggravated battery of a person with a deadly weapon. He's currently being held at the Santa Rosa County Jail on a $10,000 bond.
Well, that's fun.
Indeedly-do, neighbor. Excuse.
Yes.
PayPal.me/PhoenixAndWilliam if you want to drop something in the fucking tip cup. And Patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund if you want to opt in to pay a monthly tax of your choice in amount. Mm-hmm. So that you could hold the wine cellar down, keep the wine cellar up, so that everybody can drive on this road, because you keep the potholes filled. unlike where we live. Right? Like, they're just inverted speed bumps at this point. Like,
they are.
They're not a bug. They're a feature.
Yeah. It's bad.
It's real in the this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
All right. All right, Father Muckers. Please be as safe as possible wherever you are.